Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Screamy, I can't stand you sometimes.
What did I do?
Sometimes you turn the mic on. Sometimes you turn it off. That time I was like, we're here at the 4, and then just crickets.
All right, we'll talk on the break.
4:01 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby.
You've only had 8 years to get it ironed out.
I don't want to hear from you right now.
We have a Chris versus a fan.
Chris is like, how can I pile on?
833-288-0973. Well, also in the...
Here's how I can pile on. Did you take my wife's advice yet, Grinch?
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, that was rude, by the way.
I mean, you were being a Grinch on Monday.
I was being a Grinch on Monday. I actually did look into some places near her for that. So I have not purchased, but good. I have looked at places.
For those who listen to our overtime on Monday,
yeah,
you would have got, you know what we're talking about. Chris suggested that Scraby, who is just such a Grinch when it comes to Christmas and gifts, that he suggested that he get his sister a mani-pedi,
yeah,
gift certificate. And he looked like, what? Why would I ever do that?
I just don't ever see my sister. I guess I don't notice that my sister, if she does her nails,
yeah,
or whatever.
I mean, no, I'm sure you don't notice, but I promise you it gets done.
Okay. All right. I mean,
Chris,
it was a great
suggestion.
And more
importantly, Lori promised you it gets done. So you should take the advice.
It was Lori. Yes, it was Lori's idea after I explained to her that Scraby didn't plan on getting his sister a gift.
You're so ridiculous, dude.
That is,
it's Christmas,
is,
man.
This has been,
it's
our
not
thing
even about
forever.
It's not even about how much money you spend. It's just about the, it's just about the idea of giving.
See, that's where I come, that's where it comes in. Where I'm like, what if I get her a bad present? She hates it.
Don't overthink it. It's the thought.
There is no way she's going to hate that gift.
That's also true.
Lori Ello's never wrong on this stuff.
I'm not saying
actually Lori Ello's never
wrong, period.
I should say that Lori Ello is never wrong, period. But yes, especially on this stuff.
For sure. All right. 833-288-0973. Chris Ello versus the fans right now.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Dominic on the chat has a great suggestion for a present. He says, get her Legos, then she can make whatever she wants.
Wow.
Goodness. That's pretty good.
Yeah, you could try that one. You should try that.
She does have a 6-month-old son, so maybe he'll like him.
Yeah, that would be a gift for your nephew then.
Yeah.
Not for your sister.
I should just be like Homer Simpson and buy like a bowling ball or something, because Homer always buys Marge gifts that he wants.
Likes, yeah, no.
So that she gets.
That seems like something you would do, quite frankly.
A bowling ball.
Or like a vacuum. Oh, that's, you know, funny. What? I should buy my sister a vacuum. That'll go over well.
That brings me to one of my husband follies early in my marriage.
Oh, you bought some house cleaning stuff?
No, I bought. I'm kind of embarrassed to even tell this story. I thought it would be a good idea to buy my pregnant wife pregnancy clothes.
Oh boy.
This is ooh boy.
I can't remember if it was for birthday or Christmas.
Are you saying I need these?
Wait, so hold on here. As the unmarried guy of the show.
Yeah.
How is that a bad thing? She's pregnant. You're getting her clothes to make her more comfortable.
Right. It's kind of like when you're a kid.
Not the way she sees it.
Right. It's kind of, I think the best way to explain it is kind of like when you're like 9, 10 years old and Christmas comes around and you get clothes. Of course you need it, but that's not what a 9, 10-year-old wants.
So she wanted something else.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't about the pregnancy clothes?
Right. It wasn't about the pregnancy clothes. Right. But yeah, that was one of the first times I was like, as a dude, I was like,
I don't think you ever joke about
why you're mad.
I just bought you clothes to make you feel more comfortable.
It was one of the first times I was like, oh man, I might be
in over my head. Do I look comfortable now?
I might be in over my head after this one. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
All right, no problem. Here's the prize. You will be qualified for a shot at the grand prize, 2 tickets to New Kids on the Block in Las Vegas on June 26th, a 2-night stay at Park MGM, and a $100 gas card. My favorite part of the read, calling all blockheads. New Kids on the Block just announced 2026 dates for their Right Stuff Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live at Park MGM. Don't miss all your favorite hits live in Vegas with NKOTB February through October 2026. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
If any of you quote-unquote blockheads are out there in the chat, just give us a word if that's a real thing. I've never heard of blockheads. That has to be a new thing. New Kids on the Block was popping when I was little. I don't remember anybody being called a blockhead.
I ran around saying I was a blockhead.
You did. You're such a liar.
I had to keep from commenting on that statement.
All right.
Just because I felt I'd be piling on too much.
The rules. You have to make it through 3 questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player. Let us know before we get into it, and you'll get that question for free today. Let's get to our first contestant.
Who's our first contestant?
I'm looking. Let's go to David.
Hello, David.
Hello, David.
How's it going?
Going well,
good.
My friend.
You ready to play?
I'm ready to play. Let's do it. I'm a first-time player.
First-time player! All right, here we go. Question number 2. Jaden Denegal played for what college before San Diego State University?
Before
San Diego State.
Boy.
UCSD.
Wish they had a football team. Chris?
He somehow survived Jim Harbaugh at Michigan.
He did somehow survive Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. I'm sorry about that, David. I hate it when first-time players get eliminated on the first time.
Sorry, David. Yeah,
happens, though.
It does happen. It does happen. All right, let's get to our next.
He survived Jim Harbaugh and Sharon Moore.
Oh, wow.
Both of them.
Shots fired.
I mean, it was not a shot. It's a fact.
It's a fact.
He survived both.
All right, let's go to our next contestant, Hakeem.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Hakeem.
Are you ready to play?
First time player.
And we got that.
We got 2 in a row.
Yeah, that's awesome. Wow. I didn't realize that. Here we go. Question number 2.
Obviously. I think what we're finding out, guys, is that a lot of our listeners are normally at work and can't call in. So the only people who normally call in are the people that are not at work.
That's not true. People work from all over the place. All right, Hakeem, your question is this. What year was Michael Jordan's last NBA season?
That's a pretty good one. That's a tough one.
Oh, Scraby.
Scraby.
I'm going to go with 1998.
Is that when he stepped away for baseball?
Nope, he was winning titles in 98.
Okay. 98 was his last season with the Bulls.
Ah.
The question is how many did he play with the Wizards?
Mm.
And I think he played 5 years, so that would be 03.
I can't stand it. I'm sorry, Hakeem.
Sorry, Hakeem.
You know that I know Michael Jordan.
I mean, that was like the worst.
I knew
right
that
there.
He was going to know, but I also was like, maybe he'll get the year wrong.
It gets a little blurry for Michael after the Bulls if you're not a
Michael
I know.
Michael
his eyes
fan.
Are always red.
His eyes are blurry.
His eyes are the most
his
bloodshot
eyes, make,
eyes I've
his
ever
eyes
seen.
Make my eyes water. You're looking at
like, damn. Man, your eyes look like they hurt. All right, let's go to Jeremy. Hello, Jeremy.
What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not too much.
Ready to play? Quickly,
yep.
I'm ready to play, but may I quickly say, I don't care win, lose, or draw. The last 7 minutes of you guys were epic. And as Wood says in the morning, save that.
Save that. I like that. Thank you very much, Jeremy. I appreciate you saying that. So you're the winner. That's all
yep,
you need.
That's over. That's all you got to do.
Just kidding. Here we go.
Pretty simple.
Question number one. A pickleball court is smaller, but based on what other sports court?
Tennis
is correct.
Nice.
Nice job. I need to play pickleball. Maybe I'll play pickleball over the break. That's what I'll do.
You just be saying stuff. You ain't even playing no pickleball.
You play pickleball during the break, and I'll come visit you after your knee surgery in January.
You think I'm going to tear up my knee?
Yeah. Like, when's the last time you moved like that?
Yeah, I don't like
I hate you guys.
I'm just asking a question.
I hike. I do jogs.
Do you hike?
Yes, I hike with Lucky.
Okay. I know you go on walks. I didn't know you hike.
I make 8 3-pointers. You guys say it doesn't count. I eat tight 10.
8 3-pointers?
Doesn't
that?
Count.
You just go outside and shoot 8 3-pointers. And then you
remember the
and...
video I did of
yeah,
me making threes?
Yeah, like a little kid's park. I saw. I remember it.
With the chain basket.
It wasn't a chain basket. It was a double rim.
Double rim chained.
It was not chained.
Not
all right, we're going
hoop.
To question number two because you guys
not
are ridiculous.
A real hoop.
Before San Diego State, where did head coach Sean Lewis coach?
I was just listening to this crud.
Thank you for saying crud.
Drawing a blank, I apologize.
No, that's okay, you pass. It's all right. Although I think these questions are right up Chris's alley today.
I think he was a Kent State Golden Flash. Oh, he went somewhere else?
he was at Colorado with Coach Prime.
Oh, yeah. See, big break for you out
big
there.
Big break there.
Yeah,
I thought for sure
totally,
you had that.
I totally missed it.
See,
yeah.
Tyler says on the chat, Scraby, if you're looking for a pickleball partner, hit me up. Well, see?
Because he probably plays often. I don't know about you. I don't know if you want Scraby. Scraby, do you even know how to play pickleball?
Do you know
the rules?
Not really, but someone can explain
don't,
it to me.
Don't invite Scraby then.
Tyler also says, big hater energy today from you guys. Thank you.
Well, listen.
Thank you, Tyler.
Tyler, you're going to say that, and then you go get this dude out on that pickleball court. He's going to be the reason you're losing games. So,
you guys really underestimate my athletic ability.
It's not about your athletic ability. It's about your ability to comprehend rules that are happening really fast. Never mind. Go ahead.
Right, yeah, I'm just going to go to the next one.
Who's our contestant? No, they still are alive.
They're still alive. Jeremy is still alive. Here's
Jeremy,
question
you got
number
a big
three.
Break. Take advantage of it.
I don't know. I'm not going to ask that one.
The last one.
Okay. Who is the oldest player to ever win NBA MVP?
Oldest player to ever win NBA MVP.
Correct.
Oh.
I'm going to need an answer.
Pass.
All right. Now Chris is spinning in his chair, which means I've got him a little bit, I think.
I'm not sure. But I'm going to go with the captain. The oldest player ever to win MVP, never committed a foul in his career. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, I was like, who is that?
Huzzah! Wow. We got ourselves a winner! The mailman.
Yes.
Carl Malone, 35.
Wow. 35 years old for mailman.
Man, if you would have said 35, I would have thought like Jordan or Kareem or one of them.
Stay there, Jeremy.
We got to go to what, 18 now?
Yes.
Real quick, tell a story. I heard Kenyon Martin. I don't know if you guys heard this, but apparently he watched as Karl Malone took out Isaiah Thomas and busted his head wide open. Chris, you probably remember this, right?
Not as well as I'd like to.
Okay, so he...
I was not an Isaiah Thomas fan.
This was in, what, the 90s? Maybe the late
80s? It would have been in the... Early 90s,
somewhere around it. Kenyon Martin tells this story. And he's watching this as a kid. Do you know when he reached the NBA... after being at Cincinnati, Karl Malone was still in the league. And if you go back and you watch, he has one of the most nasty, flagrant fouls on Karl Malone you'll ever see. And
Kenyon Martin to Karl Malone?
Yes. And he said it was specifically because of how he went upside Zeke's head back in the day.
He was sticking up for Isaiah Thomas.
Yes. Like years later?
Years later. And when you watch, foul him, there's no doubt he was thinking about it. Just look at his face the whole time.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, pretty dumb.
Karl Malone's a massive human being.
That's what I'm saying.
When Kenyon Martin fouled Karl Malone, it was with intent. I'm sure when Karl Malone fouled Isaiah, it was just a normal foul. Isaiah Thomas probably took as many, if not more, cheap shots than any player I ever saw in the history of the NBA. Yeah. So, ask Larry Bird about it or, any number of guys who played in that era. And, Isaiah to me was a guy that would start it, then run away and go stand behind Bill Laimbeer and Rodman. And so that's why I never had a lot of respect for Isaiah. I always had respect for his game. He could play like no other.
Top three point guard in history?
Probably so, yeah. Right there. You got Magic, you got Stockton. Isaiah's right there. But, man, his personality just didn't work for me. But anyway. That's my Isaiah spiel.
There's not many people that have a good thing to say about Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, it's funny that that was the case for a very, very long time. And it's just so funny how time will change perception. That after the Last Dance came out, there was like this wave of people who felt like Isaiah was being mistreated.
Yes.
After that came out. In the same way.
Because Michael was still mad at him. But like
appalled that Magic said, or that Jordan said that he couldn't stand him. Like he hated him. Like he absolutely hated him. I just remember everybody being up in arms about it. But I also remember being like 11, 12 years old hearing like, a lot of Laker fans feel a way about Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah played the Lakers 2 years in a row in the finals, and I think his greatest moment was in Game 6. I think it was the ankle game. Yeah. I mean, you're never going to see a better performance than he put on in that game. But it just will never change, what I think Magic and Michael and Scotty and all those guys felt about, the way he was.
Yeah.
And, it got around the league and – Michael Jordan didn't start out hating him.
Yeah, it's so much so it kept him out of the USA team.
They wouldn't let him on that team. Yeah, you have to have a lot of dislike to hit a guy like that because he should have been on that team without question.
Not even Dylan the Villain is
great
hated.
Segue.
Thank you.
He's right there. It's great because Dylan the Villain has spoken. They had the kind of back and forth between him and LeBron the other day. Dylan spoke to the media today and took some direct shots at old LBJ. We'll cover it on the other side. More Gwen and Chris, here's some traffic.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Used to laugh and call a name. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
425.
One foggy Christmas Eve.
Is that Burl Ives?
No, this is Dean Martin.
Oh, Dino.
Dino.
Won't you ride my sleigh tonight?
Dean Martin, who used to have a television show. It was a live variety one-hour show. And I can guarantee you, if you ever find clips of Dean Martin's show, he was three sheets to the wind drunk every show. Every show. And that was part of it. Like, that was like acceptable behavior. And like, people thought it was funny that like he would be slurring his words. But yeah,
he wasn't the only
one. Different world. Yeah, right.
I distinctly remember Harry Carey. Certainly slurring some of his words during some of the games.
Can I know we need to get into this, Dylan the villain, but we're right here. Can I ask, why was it accepted for these people to be drunk during their job?
That was a way of life back then.
Like, what years are we talking? 70s, 80s?
Before.
60s, late 60s to end of the mid 70s.
That's a little bit different because it's like, you know, it's not that cool to come to work drunk anymore.
Yeah, no, this was still, I mean, the 80s was still kind of a wild time, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to tell stories on my dad out of school, but he won't mind. He used to pick me up at 6 o'clock to take me to a Dodger game, and he wasn't hiding it, Scraby. He would be holding a glass with a martini in it as he was driving the car. It wasn't even something he was trying to keep secretive.
Wild. He was wild.
Just
back
wild.
Then.
It wasn't
crazy.
For some reason, it wasn't as important for people to stop.
I don't think we understood it at that
It's pretty
point.
Easy to understand.
No,
you get
I'm
drunk,
saying,
you can't drive.
It is now. I don't know that everybody was
well,
on
it's
that
also
back
easy
then.
To understand that if you smoke cigarettes, you could get cancer. But in the 50s, that wasn't the message.
No.
The message was smoke cigarettes because it's cool and everybody does it. So it was a different time for sure.
We might have to hold Dylan the villain until we about just really like 10 seconds before we got to
we just stepped all over Dylan the villain.
Well, he looks like a villain in this picture.
Real quick, let me give a quick shout out. Two former Aztecs, not former, they're Aztecs for life, but former baseball Aztecs, Jomel Torres and Brandon Meredith. Otherwise known as Birdies in the Outfield. I know some of you guys probably follow them on Instagram. They sent me some gear today. Or they sent me some gear a while ago. I'm just wearing it today. But both of those dudes are doing big things, man. And so I just wanted to give them a little love before we go to break. On the other
I want to give Brandon Meredith some love, Tony.
Go for it.
The year Strasburg took the Aztecs to the...
ready to go.
That year. That exact year.
Strasburg ready to go.
Okay, Brandon Meredith was at first base when I made that announcement. And when we went to the NCAA regionals that year, The Aztecs won one game, but the game they won was Brandon Meredith's two home run game up at UC Irvine, and he mashed a couple of balls.
My dad loved Brandon. He figured it out his last year.
Yep,
put it all together. Got to play a little pro ball, I think, before he hung
it
up.
Yes, I believe so.
But shout out to Birdies in the outfield; those are my guys. All right, let's get to break. On the other side, we have a big five. But before we get to that big five, I promise you we'll get to Dylan the Villain. More Gwen and Chris. 4:34 on the clock. I'd love to let this Christmas music roll, but we got a deadline. And if we're going to get off Dylan the Villain, we need to go. So Dylan the Villain took exception. I don't know if he took exception. I don't even know what caused him to speak on this. But here is what he said. I'm assuming it was right after practice today. Here's what he had to say.
I don't know. I guess he's a social media junkie. He'd be all over the social, so he'd be seeing, I guess, what I'm saying. And when I go out there and he thinks, like I told you, he thinks that people should think away about him, not say nothing about him or, you know, play a certain way. I'm not going to play that way. So he gets in his moods or in his modes or whatever it is, and I'm all for that. I wish we let him shoot that shot, and that shit would have been an air ball.
Wow.
You know what's funny about that? First of all, I couldn't help but hear Drake as he was talking.
It did sound
Drake-ish. They do, both are from Canada, so that makes sense.
Oh, it was the A.
you could hear it, right?
Yes.
The funny thing, though, if for those who watched that game, he was the antagonist the whole time. And the irony in this whole thing is he was losing, and then all of a sudden he hit the shot to give them the lead. With like three, like it was little bit of time left. And then he also is the dude that got the technical foul that then allowed LeBron to go to the free throw line. And then they ended up fouling him shooting a three. And so all of his work, all the things that he said he wished would have happened, all didn't happen because of him.
Well, is Dylan the Villain good at playing the victim?
I don't know. I don't know what the question was that was asked.
Well, it was about their confrontation.
Well, that's the thing is he was the one doing the confrontation. And the thing is, after the game, LeBron didn't really make much of it. He said two guys competing and then kind of just left it at that. So
which
I don't,
angers Dylan the
I
Villain.
Think it does. It just seemed like he was like, he wants people to, like, when did he, what are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. It was very weird. I did appreciate the social media.
So what are you saying? Social media, he's really into social media or something?
Yeah, like, yeah, he's like, really into social media. You can't say anything about him, which is probably true.
Dylan the Villain. I will say Dylan the Villain is playing really well this year.
Like, so he can be a villain.
He's actually scoring and playing D. So like it's like a two-way thing that he's got working there. All right. We had a big five to get to. Before we get to it, here's some traffic.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we're going to go all over the place in today's Big Five, but we're going to start with an NBA topic. And I think one of the most apparent injuries in sports is probably the Achilles tendon rupture. Like, you see it on TV and you know that it happened.
Number five.
Micah Parsons' knee was right up there from the other day because you could see that as well. But the Achilles tear has been a big part of sports here in the last maybe 5 years. And going back to 2019 in the NBA Finals, if you remember, Kevin Durant tore his Achilles during the Finals. And he actually recently came out and said that he wouldn't have taken the court in 2019 in the NBA Finals. As someone had told him he had the good chance of tearing his Achilles. He said no one made him aware of the risks of going out there. He said if he knew, he probably wouldn't have played. So, Chris, do you think the team should be required to tell athletes about serious or potential serious injury?
Oh, absolutely not. I think doctors should lie to guys.
Oh, I was like,
whoa. I mean, what kind of silly question is this? I'm not knocking you, but I don't understand the question. How can I even possibly answer on the other side of this?
Because if he doesn't,
of course they should tell him.
Because if it's do you want to fill someone's head with, hey, your Achilles might pop during the game? Or do you just not tell them?
I don't know that you... Well, I don't know that that's the way you go about it.
Hey, bro, your Achilles is going to pop.
Yeah, I think certain doctors have a bedside manner that's a little better than others. But, yeah, I don't know how you would send any athlete out there without telling them some of the risks involved in playing. I think there's inherent risks in playing, even if you're not injured at all, of course. But if your Achilles tendon is about to pop and one more wrong step, you absolutely should be required to. Now, I think the interesting part of this discussion is probably more, you know, about how these things work behind the scenes. And Tony can answer this better. He's been on these squads, but I've also been, you know, in the background and in training rooms myself. And, you know, certain coaches might say to certain trainers, hey, is there a way you can get this guy out there? Certain trainers might say to certain coaches, well, yes, but it's probably not the safest thing to do. Other coaches might go, well, we really need him. So therein lies, I think, the discussion here. What's the proper way to handle these things? But your question as to whether doctors should be required to tell athletes they could get hurt, I think is an easy answer.
I'm not going to lie. I came up with that question about 30 seconds before we started.
Sounded like it for sure.
I meant to type it out, but then I didn't have a question either way.
Let me go ahead and answer this question because from my point of view, I think in my experience, all of the team doctors still upheld the, you know,
the
Hippocratic oath that they ultimately swore when they became doctors, right? Even if it went against what the team wanted to do, right? Now, doesn't mean that there aren't team doctors that will try to convince you that, you know, although there may be some risk, you should be fine. They give you some examples of some times it's worked out. But I also think it's part of the player's responsibility of their own health. I know when the few times that I had a surgery as an option, I asked a ton of questions. And specifically, if I was playing through injury, can I make this worse by continuing to play on it? And, you know, if the answer was no, it was about pain management, cool. But if the answer was yes, then I had a decision to make myself. This question is posed to KD, and I don't know if it was pointing at Golden State not telling him or it revisiting the situations, asking him if you had known, would you have played?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because, so, you know, I'm careful how I talk about this because I'm not I don't want to, you know, make it seem as though Golden State.
I don't think he just brought this up.
Yeah, I don't think he brought it up out of nowhere, but he was asked a question. We don't know what the context of that question was. That being said, I think most professional organizations collaborate with the player and tell them what the scenarios are.
I don't know. I saw James Woods in Any Given Sunday. He was a really bad team doctor.
He was diabolical. He was
a really bad team doctor.
He was yeah. one of those they like bought yeah. On the corner. It
yeah,
seemed like.
he was like, I don't, you might like, get paralyzed. Like,
you know
who cares?
What? You know what? We don't have a team doctor. Look at the phone book.
Look
see
at that
we can find
guy. He's over there. We're going to go get him. All right.
There's a great character in a movie called All That Jazz. Roy Scheider plays the great Broadway director Bob Fosse, and he has to get okay health-wise from the doctor to go ahead and produce a play that's coming up or musical, and the doctor is testing his chest out and, you know, giving him the whole look. But the doctor is coughing on a cigarette as he's asking him if he's feeling okay. And Bob Fosse, the Bob Fosse character, is also smoking his cigarette. So, yeah, I feel pretty good, Doc. You know,
real quick.
They let him go. And so, of course, he, you know, directs the play. So, yeah, I don't think the doctors are like that. As Tony said, they have a Hippocratic Oath to stand up to. But teams can be a little,
sure.
you know, twisty on stuff
I,
like this.
I was going to say, that was my personal experience. I definitely have played with guys or know of guys that would say the opposite, that they may have not been given information all the time and, you know, or may have been pushed to do one thing even if the information was given to them. So, I don't know.
I don't know
if that was Kevin Durant's intent on this, but that's, you know, in today's society, you know, that's definitely where everybody's going to go to.
Yeah.
Oh, Golden State let him go out there and they didn't tell him.
I believe he just walked out onto the practice court. He's like, gather around, media. I would like to bring up the 2019 NBA Finals.
Number four.
Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua was taking some heat last week because he live streamed from the locker room after a Rams win. And when asked by teammates to stop, he then said, I'm not live streaming. And they looked at him and they said, I can see you live streaming right there. So anyway, that was last week. This week, he was on another live stream, and I tried to pull the audio. It's kind of hard to hear, so I'm just going to read his quote. But he said this about NFL referees. Quote, the refs are the worst. Some of the rules aren't. These guys are lawyers. They just want to be on TV too. You don't think he's texting his friends in the group chat like, yo, you guys just saw me on Sunday Night Football. That wasn't PI, but I called it. And then he goes on to say that refs are humans too. I don't know what that had to do with anything. But Tony, you're up first here. If you are the Rams, 2 weeks in a row on a live stream thing, are you calling Puka into your office for a talk?
A small one.
Like, what are you saying?
You're pushing up against the line of being distracting.
Okay.
You're not there. You're super productive.
You're a best football player.
We love you
yeah,
here.
Yeah, please keep catching passes.
We love you here.
Yeah.
But if I'm Sean McVay, all I'm telling him is the moment that you stop producing and we aren't playing well, you're going to give me an excuse to a reason for why it's happening.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Or even if it's not me you're giving an excuse, the reason to, you're giving the media the reason to keep kind of pointing the spotlight at us. For a large part of the season, the Rams have been able to go about their business. They ain't had a whole lot of noise happening. But now all of a sudden, we're getting close to the end of the season where, you know,
things matter.
Things start to focus in a little bit more, and you are like dragging the spotlight to us. And I don't know that we necessarily need it. We want to just keep kind of doing our thing.
Yeah, I don't think that Matthew Stafford wants a reporter to come up to him and ask, do you think refs are calling PI because they want to be on TV?
Sometimes, you know, Puka's, this is back to back weeks too where I'm starting to question, like, his brain on this one at all.
Yeah, like, he's been weird, and the whole, and I hate to bring this up,
I haven't even heard that part. What is the point of bringing up the referees in the first? Was he asked about it, or he just was like randomly like the ref?
See, this is how the clip was clipped, and so it started with him, but I'm just going to say he offered it up because he seems to be doing this to himself.
Let me at least put the disclaimer out there. I don't know what his context was bringing this up, but, you know. It kind of feels unnecessary.
Chris, if you're the Rams, are you...
Especially considering he's going to benefit from most of these calls.
Yeah.
Period.
P.I. is a good call for him. Chris, if you're the Rams, are you having a small talk with Mr. Nacua?
I don't know if the Rams need to have a talk with him, but if I was Brigham Young University, I would have a talk with him.
Because,
no, I'm going to tell you why. Because he's making the BYU education look like it's completely worthless.
I don't think people match up BYU with Puka.
Well, explain. Well, he went there.
Right? Oh, I understand that, but...
Okay, well, did he learn anything? That's my point.
I can't.
Okay, his last two things that you're talking about are the acts of somebody who's stupid. And I don't think that Puka Nacua wants to come off as being stupid, but he is live streaming in the locker room and potentially embarrassing his teammates and then lying about it is not smart. And just for the hell of it, calling NFL officials the worst they could possibly be is not going to benefit him or anyone either.
Even if he might have a point in terms of referees.
They have been bad lately.
You just can't. You can't.
You shouldn't say this stuff.
You shouldn't say it.
Look, he's almost challenging the refs to be bad at this point. I mean, I don't get where he's coming from here at all. And from the official's point of view, no official has time during the run of a play to think about where they are standing on the camera angle so that they can get on TV for their friends.
That's just absolutely nonsense. That's the part
that truly
kills me. It just seems truly ignorant. Right?
It seems childish. That's like a childish thing to say.
That's something we would have said in like high school. I bet you these referees are like taking selfies of themselves and sending them mid-game.
Now, I have received a few texts from Carl Sheffers during the game. He's like, wait.
I'm sure.
I'm going to make this holding penalty really good. All right. Puka, stay off the live stream,
By the way, he is facing you this weekend in the semifinal.
Suspended.
So I hope for his actions he is suspended. but wait till he starts the game. So Braden can't take him out of the lineup.
I got you. It's a reverse series benching. You start the game.
First time he runs downfield, the back judge just goes, that's 15. That's unsportsmanlike conduct. You're gone. and when the back judge does it, make sure you're right flat in the middle of the TV screen when you make the announcement.
Take the selfie.
All right. The NBA has been flirting with expansion for years now, but Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, says a decision is coming in 2026. Here's what he told reporters yesterday before the NBA Cup final.
I'd say in terms of domestic expansion, that is something we're continuing to look at. Not a secret, we're looking at, you know, this market in Las Vegas. We are looking at Seattle. We've looked at other markets as well. I'd say I want to be sensitive there about this notion that we're somehow teasing these markets, because I know we've been talking about it for a while. You know, as I've said before, domestic expansion as opposed to doing a new league in Europe is selling equity in this current league. If you own 1/30th this league, now you own 1/32nd if you add two teams. So it's a much more difficult economic analysis.
All right, so all comes down to the money, but shocker. Chris, you're up first here. Is expansion in the NBA necessary?
I don't know that it's necessary, but I think it definitely can happen. I think there's plenty of talent to go around. I don't think if you added two teams, you're adding 24 players to the pool. I think there's 24 other NBA, you know, caliber players out there. So that they can do. And I'll let Tony speak on to the expansion of the league and whether anything gets watered down. I don't know that any of that does. My only thing, whenever I hear expansion, and whenever I hear Seattle and Las Vegas and Nashville and every other darn place you want to name, I come back to my city and I wonder if we even have a chance to get a team. And then I go, oh, nope, we're not even in the running because we don't have a place to play. And I just, that's...
Sports arena, you know, is a great place. Come on.
Okay. Knock it off. That's what gets me going a great place. Every time I hear about expansion, because, you know, the NBA obviously thought enough of San Diego to put two franchises here in the past. And, you know, I believe that, you know, done correctly, you know, we had Donald Sterling one time, and
not
so
done
that
correctly.
Didn't work out, right? So, you know, give us a chance, we could have done it, but we have no chance to do it, and that's what drives me crazy.
Tony, is NBA expansion necessary?
No, I don't think it's necessary, but doesn't mean they won't do it.
They're going to do it.
and although you hear him talk about it going from owning 132nd to 134th.
No, 130th to 132nd.
Yes. No, there's 30. Is there only 30 in NBA? Yeah, the NFL has 32. Yeah, so from 30 to 32, right?
I know math.
Anyway, the mere fact that they are, you know, some of those owners may very well look at it as losing money initially until they get the analysis of what the other two teams can bring in. We'll see. But if Vegas and I believe it was Seattle mm-hmm. are the two cities that are up,
I think it was
that means there's some realignment going to have to happen because both of those teams are on the West. So see how all of that kind of plays in.
Oh, but that's interesting.
It's not necessary, but I think it's going
to
happen.
Put Las Vegas in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They probably have to move, like Memphis will probably move over to
that
the
makes
Eastern
sense.
Conference. Right.
That makes sense. All right. Let's get to the next one. And I randomly saw this morning, and no people in town have issues with this, but a Green Bay Packers fan wrote to the Green Bay Press Gazette and said that he likes to watch the game on TV with the radio broadcast as audio. It doesn't sync up, so it's not a practical way to watch the game for him, and I know that some Padres fans want that. They have tried to do this before.
They can do that.
They can. It's you have to wait and pause and then hit play. There's some barriers to entry on that listening. But this is from the article. Quote, the point being that the many cable systems and satellite systems and streaming platforms and over-the-air broadcasters have different delays. From personal experience, I can tell you I hear the fireworks when the Packers score a touchdown at Lambeau Field. I know that some 30 seconds later I'll see the play on my cable-fed smart TV, but when I'm on my phone with a friend in Arizona and we're watching the same broadcast, he sees plays some 20 seconds before I do, end quote. So everybody has different delays. Tony, do we need live programming delay standards across TV, streaming, and radio?
No.
Why?
Just watch the game. You don't need to be on the phone with your friend in France watching the game. Like, just watch the game. Watch the game, enjoy it, live in the moment.
But what if you are on the phone with your dad, say, and you guys are big 49er fans, and your dad has a 20, he goes, touchdown! You're like, what? Why?
I can't even have this conversation because I've never decided to be on the phone with anybody while I was watching a game at home. Ever. What? Ever, ever, ever. So, I don't think it needs to happen. If indeed it's 20 seconds ahead or behind, I'm going to take note and not call that person so it doesn't ruin my game.
Oh, I thought this was a pretty easy yes.
Come to me. Hurry up. Come to me.
I think Chris is going to say yes, but
Chris.
Hurry
up. Ask me what
Chris,
I think. Please.
Do they need delay standards across broadcasting?
Not only does it need to happen, it must happen. And it must happen now. And I want to tell Tony Gwynn Jr., and everyone else who doesn't think this is a problem, that in my previous house, I lived next door to an Aztec basketball fan. She was a loud and enthusiastic Aztec basketball fan. And when I watched games live, she, even though next door, would scream moments before I would see what happened. Because she had DirecTV and I had cable.
Mm.
And it might have only been a 2 or 3 second, but it was the most annoying thing. I used to have to lock the house up. I used to have to turn fans on so I couldn't hear. Because and she was also a Charger fan, and that's when the Chargers were in San Diego. So you're trying to watch a playoff game, and they throw a touchdown, and you hear in the neighborhood people celebrating. Yeah. Why do they have different delays for different services?
I'm sure it's compression and stuff like that. It's tech specs.
That's what I say. I don't think they're doing it intentionally. I think that's just how it compresses and how it comes out.
Because it has to be fed to a satellite into your phone.
Every time we have a nationally televised game at Petco, the feed that we normally have, which is, I mean, almost identical to what's happening in live action.
The TV feed.
The TV feed is always, every single time, about 2 second delay.
Just national games?
Just national games.
Are you're simultaneous? Because I've always actually wondered this. Like, are you watching the play on TV and describing it, or are you remembering what happened and describing it?
Remembering what
happened. Like some guy slides, but you didn't get a really good look at it. No. Are you looking at it on TV?
No, that would screw me up big time. Okay. Absolutely not. When that satellite is or when that TV feed is late, I can't go with it. I gotta go live action the whole time. Now, when we have our regular games and doing our local television thing, it's pretty much the same. So I can kind of toggle back and forth during the game. But the national televised games, we're on the radio. I got to go live. And so, listen, I get it. It just sounds like a tough break there, Chris. You got a neighbor that's into the same teams you like.
Let me tell you something, Tony.
I can feel you on that.
We sold our house because of
it. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt it. Can someone tell her to be a little bit more quiet, though? Like, I don't understand the extremely loud fans. Because louder, it's better?
But you know, be honest, Scraby, a playoff football game, 49ers it's touchdown. Yeah, yeah.
I have done this before.
I can 100% see
during
you doing
a football game when like Fred Warner stops a fourth down play.
There you go.
Like you made the tackle.
Yeah, oh, I did. I was there with him. Are you kidding me? All right, the New York Knicks won the NBA Cup championship, and they are not going to hang a banner at Madison Square Garden despite winning and beating the Spurs last night. The win was the franchise's first championship, according to this article, since 1973. I think Tony knows where I'm going with this. A source told the New York Post Stephen Bondi the team is, quote, focused on the bigger picture, end quote. Past winners, the Bucks and Lakers, have displayed banners for their NBA Cup victories. Chris, you're up first. Are teams who display banners lame?
That's not my answer.
Okay, here.
I'll let Tony answer.
No,
that
is
one.
The NBA? This is the real question. Is the NBA Cup championship an actual championship? Because this article is referencing the New York Knicks as a champion now.
Here's the thing. I would have them put a banner up just to piss off the mad dog Chris Russo, because he went on about a 25-minute rant today about how the NBA Cup is the stupidest made-up thing in the world. And now we are 3 years into it, and even though not everybody's gotten to it, Tony and anyone who watched these games will tell you there was more intensity in December than there's ever been. The NBA Cup is working, and it's time for the teams in the league to acknowledge it.
All right, Tony, is the NBA Cup championship an actual championship?
It's an NBA Cup championship. I mean, it's not
such a Tony answer.
It's not the O'Brien. It's not the O'Brien championship, right? It's not the big dog, but it's its own separate thing. It's like the Champions League, right? You get a Champions League cup, but you also have your league cup, and you know, so on and so forth. So, to each his own in terms of hanging the banner. If I'm the Knicks, you ain't hanging a whole lot up over there. So, you know, you might want to get something up there. But I get it.
Yeah, it's not even like you have to move the Rangers stuff out of the way. They don't have anything either.
Right, but I get it. You want to play like we want to go for bigger things. Cool, we can play that right now. But you might not get nothing up there beyond this.
I wonder if they backtrack after the year. They're like, actually, we will hang a banner.
It's going to, knowing their owner, it's going to like,
oh,
it's gonna be snuck up there. And one day we're going to all look up and say, oh,
there's a banner up there. Dolan. Stupid Dolan. All right, that's it for the Big Five. When we get back, Tony and I are going to take it the rest of the way, recap all the news of the day here on 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.